Good morning and welcome to our communion service.
I'm going to start by reading the Lord's Supper out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 24. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it off and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In that same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come."
Please repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you.
We confess that we have sinned against you.
In thought.
In thought.
Word.
Word
and deed.
And deed.
By what we have done.
By what we have done.
And by what we have left undone.
And by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry and we humbly repent.
We are truly sorry and we humbly repent.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Have mercy on us.
Have mercy on us.
And forgive us. That we may delight in your will.
That we may delight in your will.
And walk in your ways.
And walk in your ways.
To the glory of your name.
To the glory of your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. If you would join me in communion prayer by bowing your head as we prepare ourselves for this morning's communion. Thank you, Father, for this precious time of reverent reflection on all that Christ did for us at Calvary. As we partake of these hallowed symbols, this holy communion table, we humbly take this bread and bless it and break it and eat it in remembrance of you for your own dear bodies broken for us. May we continue to feed on you in our hearts by faith and with grateful thanks from this day forward, and may we walk worthy of our calling in Christ Jesus and live a life that is honoring to you. Heavenly Father, we come to you in grateful remembrance of what the Lord Jesus Christ achieved on Calvary's cross for all of us when he shed his precious blood on the cross to pay the enormous price of our sin and become a ransom for many. We share this cup of blessing in his name, remembering how he himself took the cup in the upper room as the hour of his crucifixion drew near and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for many. To this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Lord, thank you for this holy sacrament, and may I never approach the communion table in an unworthy manner, knowing that as often as we eat this bread and drink the cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until his coming again in great glory and majesty, praise your holy name forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, Taylor. So now at this time, as we prepare for the communion, I'm going to ask you and all those that are in your home to take whatever it is you have prepared for the communion. Again, we are not yet able to gather together around the Lord's table as is our custom, but we are asking that you take, if you have crackers, if you're using broken bread, if you would have that now. If you have grape juice, or if you're using a substitute, again, whatever you have available in your home, apple juice, or maybe even water, we have consecrated it now to be used symbolically in this, our communion service. So with that, we're going to ask you to first take the bread, which you may have, or the crackers. On the last Passover that Jesus celebrated with his disciples, he transformed the Passover meal into the Lord's Supper, into our communion service. And he did it when Jesus took the bread. The Bible says, as his custom, he blessed it and broke it. He gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat, this is my body given for you. And I say the same to all of you today. Take, eat of the Lord's body. That same meal, he also took the cup of thanksgiving, and he raised it, and he shared with his disciples. He gave thanks and he said, this is my blood, which serves as the New Testament or the New Covenant or the New Agreement that is now in place between you and God. This juice representing his shed blood given for the remission of our sins for all those who believe in Christ Jesus. He gave them the cup and said, drink ye all of it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for this, another Lord's Sunday morning. We thank you for an opportunity to again celebrate the communion service, to come as believers, gathered around and part of the body of Jesus Christ, to remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and how by it and through it, not only are our sins forgiven, but we are united as one body of believers, cohesive, joined and knitted together by the power and redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. So we thank you again for what you have done for us. We ask that you would be enlivened in us, be alive, grow in us, stir us to good works, that we might bring honor and praise to your name. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Taylor, and thank you again for joining us here this morning for another Sunday worship service. Special thanks to everyone who is streaming in this morning. Those who are coming in over Facebook Live, to those of you that are on our YouTube channel, YouTube Live this morning, thank you for being with us again this Sunday morning. I want to start, before I get into the Word of God, I did just want to say a few things, and I wanted to start by recognizing all of our young people who have participated over the last couple of weekends. On last two Fridays ago, I want to thank all the young people
participated in the virtual join night service that we had on the Zoom conference. It was a wonderful time. Thank for the diversity of gifts of all of our young people. I want to thank our two young adult leaders, Christina Rook and Deanna Weiss. They did an excellent job leading and coordinating all of the young people through that. I also want to thank Jordan Ford for his great message on last Sunday, The Power of a Praying Mother. And we thank him for that contribution to the body of Christ, as it was a blessing for many, if not all of us. And I also want to thank those who participated just this past Friday in our prayer and Bible study. We had a tremendous hour of prayer on the line. And so I want to thank you, those who are on the line and praying and helping us as the prayer requests continue to come in. Folks are calling our church hotline. Folks are using our website. Those who are members and even those who are non-members are reaching out and asking for prayer. So thank God for all of you who are participating weekly in our prayer service. Also, I want to thank Deacon Todd for closing out our Bible study series on the one chapter books of the Bible as well. Thought that was going to be the end of kind of my remarks, but I was blessed on yesterday, and not just me, but my whole family was blessed. And a special shout out to Norman Lyons, Kim Lyons, well, the whole Lyons Den, as they're affectionately known, Norm, Kim, Jessica, and Logan, who made personal trips to every young person who either participated in the Joy Night or who was a recipient of the Celeste Williams Scholarship Fund. Often we give out those awards when we're gathered at church on our back to school Sunday, but seeing as though we're not able to gather yet, they took it upon themselves to visit every home and to hand deliver in person gifts, thank yous, scholarships, and we even got some chocolate chip cookies as well. And so I really want to thank them for really ushering our young people through the pandemic and keeping them connected to the ministry, keeping them focused on Christ in their life. I really thank God for their excellent leadership. So thank you, Kim and Norm. And in these days of social distancing and sometimes seems like social isolation, it's good to be able to see some familiar faces. And so they were a real blessing to us on yesterday. So thank you again for doing that. And hopefully all of you and your children were blessed as well to see their faces. Amen? And so with that, we'll go ahead and turn our attention to the Word of God this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be speaking out of the Old Testament this morning. And our primary text will be 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter. Again, 2 Chronicles, the 34th chapter. And we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Ezra. Ezra, the 7th chapter, and verse 10. Okay, so if you have that, I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. We are going to cover a fair amount of ground this morning. And so I think we'll do probably more reading and less preaching, but the message will come across, I believe, very clearly. So again, if you have 2 Chronicles, we're going to endeavor to read the whole chapter. So if you're there, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. God was making a point. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altar and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, as far as Naphtali, and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altar and the wooden images, and had beaten the carved images into powder, cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joab, the son of Johaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites who kept the doors had gathered from the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and from all the remnant of Israel, from all Judah and Benjamin, and which they had brought back to Jerusalem. And then they put it in the hand of the foreman, who had oversight of the house of the Lord. They gave it to the workmen who worked in the house of the Lord to repair and to restore the house. So they gave it to the craftsmen and to the builders to buy hewn stone and timber for beams, and to the floor, and to floor the houses which the king of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. And their overseers were Johath, Obadiah, the Levites, the sons of Mary, Zechariah, Meshulam, and the sons of the Kohathites to supervise. Others of the Levites, all of whom were skillful with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and were overseers of all who did work in any kind of service. Some of the Levites were scribes, officers, and gatekeepers. Now when they had brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king word, saying, all that was committed to your servants, they are doing. And they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And thus it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. And so Hilkiah and those the king had appointed with Toholah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tokath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. And she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter. And they spoke to her to that effect. And then she answered them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, have burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and not quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see the calamity which I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. And so they brought back word to the king. Verse 29, then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah, Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests, Levites, and all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which he had found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And he made all who were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God of their father. Thus Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. And all his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. Amen. That's the 34th chapter of Chronicles in its entirety. So now let's just add to the witness out of Ezra, the 7th chapter, verse 10. Just one verse here, familiar passage. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Again, Ezra prepared his heart to first seek the Lord, to seek the law of the Lord, then secondly, to do it, I mean apply it to his own life first, and then to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. May the Lord add a blessing to his words, and might he forever consecrate it to our hearts. This morning, I want to talk about influencers. The question I have for the church this morning, are you an influencer for Christ? Are you an influencer for Christ? Father, your word has been read into our hearing, even as it was in the days of old. May your word find a place in our heart, in our mind, and in our soul. May your word prove us challenge us, convict us, and bring about repentance and a greater love for you. This I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Influencers. That root word is the word influence. A brief look at the dictionary tells us that the word influence means to have the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Influence. It is the capacity to have an effect on the character, the development, or behavior of someone or something. The two texts that we are looking at today highlight two men who were great influencers of their day, King Josiah and Ezra, the priest and scribe. As we go back to what we've just read out of 2 Chronicles, we began to get this profile of this young man whose heart was set to love God. In the early verses, verses 1 through 7, Josiah becomes king at the age of 8 years old. Can you only imagine the pressure he must have felt? So on the one hand, you would imagine there's great pressure being king and being so young. But then on the other hand, you can also imagine he might not even have been aware of the magnitude of what was being put upon him, again, being only 8 years old. But be that as it may, his father had died, and Israel has now appointed him to be king in Judah. And as a young person, I love what the text says about him, is that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father, David. Now, David was not his immediate father. David was, in fact, his great-great-great-grandfather. But they go back to David as being the standard bearer for a righteous king in Israel. David had set the standard. David had set the bar for how a king is to rule in the monarchy of God's kingdom. And this young man, Josiah, who never knew David, never lived or witnessed David, but yet, like David, has now set his heart to follow after and love the God of Israel. Might I remind you of what God said of David in Samuel's the 13th chapter and verse 14, it says, the Lord had said he had sought and found a man after his own heart. And even as that was said of David, so it could also be said of Josiah, that he was a young man who was after the heart of God. The other thing I want to note here, that as this heart for God is being cultivated, this love for God is being cultivated in Josiah, it is apparent that it is happening because those who are positioned around him, his counselors, his teachers, those with authority on his behalf, are infusing him with the ways of the God of Israel. So he not only has a desire for the Lord in his own heart, but that desire is being fed and nurtured by those in authority who are around him.
Amen.
And as a result, he is growing in his faith in God.
Amen.
And that faith then becomes manifested as he turns 16. The text that we read, that he begins to purge Judah and Jerusalem of all of the idols and false worship which had taken place or taken hold in Israel over decades of wicked kings. Baal worship has broken out. The worship of Asherah and these other gods from other countries and from other religions have now taken place inside the land of Israel, has now taken place in Judah and even in Jerusalem, up on what the text called the high places, the mountainsides, the hillsides. Altars had now been erected to worship gods other than the only true God and the only God ever in Israel. And so this false worship has taken out, and it's gone from king to king and generation to generation. But now Josiah is coming up, and now as he comes into his own as a teenager, he now says, now that I'm king, now that I have the authority, I'm going to set about to purge the land of all of these idols, all of these molded images, these wooden images, these carved images, anything that is not of or pertaining to the Lord God of Israel and of our fathers, I'm going to eradicate it. And that's what he does. So as a young man, he takes action on his love for God. Then as we move further in the text, verses 8 through 13, we see a young man who now sets his heart to restore and to rebuild the house of the Lord. So first, he purged the land of false worship and false idols, and now he sets his attention on repairing and rebuilding the house of God. Because while the nation was being consumed by false worship and false idols and false religions, it allowed the house of the Lord to fall in disrepair. It was, no one was there. No one was keeping it. No one was maintaining it. There were no more sacrifices being offered in the temple at Jerusalem. Everyone had now forsaken the holy city and the holy place and had gone to the high places and to the hillside. And while all of this was taking place, the house of the Lord had fell into disrepair. But now, Josiah, now that he's purged the land, he now sets his heart to repair the house of God. So after purging the land of idol worship and false gods, the text said at the age of 26, again, this is a young man, Josiah set his heart to repair the house of the Lord. And the offering of the money that was collected from the people was given to faithful and trustworthy men to repair the house of the Lord. I just want to make a point here. Thank God for faithful men and women who love the house of the Lord. Amen. Once Josiah set his heart to repair and to rebuild and restore the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, that God began to gather around him faithful men, men who were willing to follow his vision, men who were willing to take on his passion and his love for the house of God, and to do the work necessary to rebuild, to restore, and to reestablish the temple and its beauty and its significance in the life of Israel. And so Josiah and those that the Lord has now assigned to him now set about restoring the temple at Jerusalem. Now verses 14 through 18 says, when they brought the money that had been collected by going around as he was purging the land, he also collected of them offerings, and he brought all the offerings back to Jerusalem. And when he brought it back to Jerusalem, he gave it to the priest, Hilkiah, and said, you distribute as is needed. Hire whoever needs to be hired, enlist the services of whoever needs to be engaged, and you pay them accordingly. And he said, while the work was being repaired and while the work was being done, that it says that Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Find somebody who's in your house, your home, your apartment, wherever you are watching this broadcast, and just tell them, you better find that book.
You better find that book.
Okay, I need all of y'all. Everybody do it. Say, look, you gotta find that book. Israel had lost sight of its God because it had lost sight of God's word. As they had disregarded and no longer come to the Lord's house for worship, then the word of the, not only did the house of the Lord fall in disrepair, but the word of the Lord failed to be read and heard among the people. And so as a result, the people lost sight of, lost knowledge of the word of God. Why? Because when they went to the high places and to the hillside and to the countryside and to their altars of Baal and to the other gods, there was no reading of the law of Moses. There was no reading of the wondrous works of God. There was no telling of how God had brought Israel out and its fathers and forefathers through the Red Sea and how they had conquered Pharaoh. Those stories began to fade from their mind and fade from their memory. But thanks be to God that when Josiah set about to repair the house of the Lord, in the process, they found that book. And it is at the finding of the book that now the story begins to quicken and to change. Shaphan then takes the book of the law of the Lord to the king. And what I like is that he first reports on the assignment that the king gave to him. And he says, all that was committed to your servants, they are doing. I love it when people come back and report on what I've asked them to do. Because
right.
Far too often, folks like to come back and tell you about other stuff. They want to tell you what other things are going on or what else happened. Okay, all that stuff is great. But the assignment that I gave to you, what is the status of it? And so before they report the book to the king, they let the king know. They say, the assignment that you gave us is being done right now.
Amen.
The money has been distributed. The workmen have been rehired. The house of the Lord is being rebuilt even as we speak. And so the king is delighted. But then Shaphan also tells the king that while the work was being done, Hilkiah the priest has found the book of the law. And it tells us there in that verse that immediately the king says, read me the book. Okay? First, you got to tell somebody they got to find the book. The second thing you got to do is tell somebody in your house, you got to
read the book.
I am always amazed about how many Bibles people have in their homes. As a pastor, I have occasion from time to time to visit not only with members, non-members, different folks at their homes, in hospitals, sometimes on their jobs, wherever it may be. And there is no shortage of Bibles in this world. I think every year the Bible is always on one of the top 10 lists for of books most purchased or most acquired by people. But even with having the book, what I find that is contradictory to it is that though people have the book, they often fail to read the book. I'm reminded as a young person and being a PK, a preacher's kid, and going with my parents, my mom, my dad, our previous pastor, Dr. Taylor, and going on house visits and house calls. I was always amazed when you came into the house, there was always a Bible, and it was usually a big Bible, ornate Bible, and it usually had a place of prominence. It was either in the living room or the dining room, and it would sit on a table often by itself, and we were forbidden to put anything on that table. You couldn't put anything on the Bible. You couldn't look at the Bible. They didn't want you to look at it. Don't even look at that. That's the Holy Bible. And I can understand respect and reverence for the Word of God. But the thing that always amazed me about the Bible was how much dust was on the Bible. Now, they respected the Bible. They revered the Bible. They had the Bible. But nobody in the house was actually reading what the Bible said. You follow what I'm saying? So it's not enough just to find the book, but you also have to do the hard work of reading the book. And I'm so glad Josiah responded instantly when he heard that Shaphan had the book of the law of Moses. He said, go ahead and read the book. Verses 19 to 21 shows a young man who repents and brings about revival to his land. Look, when Shaphan read the book, it says here
Thus then it happened, when the king heard the words of the law, that he tore his clothes. And this tearing or rending of one's garment is often symbolic of remorse and repentance. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You may know this, but I'm just going to amplify it and bring it to the front of our minds for all of us to benefit. Something happens when the word of God is read out loud. When that word of God goes out into the air, and then it enters into our ears, and it goes down into our hearts, and it begins to be processed by our mind, and it gets down into the cellar of our souls, there is no denying that something happens in the human body when the word of God is declared in authority and in power. And as such, when Josiah heard the word of the Lord, it convicted him as he heard about the promised destruction that would befall Israel and Judah for their forefathers and their denial of God, the true God of Israel, and their allegiance to false idols, false gods, and false worshipers. Josiah had a visceral reaction to the reading of the word of God, rent his clothes, began to put himself down on the ground, and to offer repentance for what he had heard. Then I'd like to go a step further. He not only repents at the reading of the word of God, but then he seeks to get an understanding. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. But therefore, get wisdom, but with all of that getting, get an understanding. Yeah. Josiah now had to deal with, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for us today, here in Israel, here in Judah? And so he sends his men out. He says, look, we've got to find out what is going on. And so they send him out to go to the prophetess Huldah. Go to a woman of God. Last Sunday, Jordan preached about the power of a praying woman, the power of a woman steeped in the word of God. And so all of these king's officials go to the woman prophet and inquire of her regarding the words of the Lord. And so she tells them, she said, yes, everything that is written in the book shall in fact come to pass. Destruction is guaranteed. The demise of Israel and Judah will surely occur. But then she also tells you, but God has also given me a word not only for the children of Israel, but also for the king of Judah. She said, go tell the man who sent you to me that God has said, because you have humbled your heart, because your heart was made tender by the word of God, because you repented, because you felt remorseful over the sins of the people, God has now said, your life shall be spared. So not only was the book found, not only was the book read, but his response to the word of God has now brought about salvation not only for King Josiah, but all of Israel in that day. And so now Josiah has the word of God. Now Josiah is now still compelled into action. And verses 29 through 33, now King Josiah begins to influence the people of Judah and Jerusalem to have them also repent and return to the Lord. You read it there in those final verses. The first thing he did, he gathered all of the people together. He said, everybody come back to the house of the Lord, great and small, priest, high priest, Levite, scribe, whatever your occupation, whatever your position in society, whatever your position within your family, bring your whole house back to the Lord. And when they gathered at the house of the Lord, it says there that he had the book read to all of the people. Now this time it wasn't read just for the king's benefit, but now it's being read for the nation's benefit. Then the book, it goes on and says, then Josiah made a vow to keep and to do all that was in the book of the law. Now that the word of the Lord had been read, first Josiah made a pledge and said that I'm going to do everything that is written in the book. Then it went further and he made all the people to stand and he made them also the vow to keep and to do all that was in the book of the law of Moses. And so now Josiah begins to influence the people of Judah. Josiah begins to influence the citizens in Jerusalem and throughout all of Israel. So they close in verse 33. Josiah influences the entire nation. Look what it says. And Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel. And he made all who were present in Israel to diligently serve the Lord their God. And all his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of his fathers. So not only did he bring about repentance, but he stood as a light and a beacon that as long as he was king, they were going to live and serve the Lord Most High. The word, I hear the word of God say, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Only someone who is an influencer can have that statement. Only someone who is an influencer for Christ can have that kind of effect on their own family and household. We need more influencers like King Josiah. We need influencers like him in our world, in our society, and even in our church today. And could it be that God is calling you to be an influencer? Maybe God is stirring you up at the reading of his word this morning and reminding you that it's handed on you to be an influencer for Christ. That's why I love the story, the short summary on Ezra's life is that Ezra prepared his heart to seek after the law of the Lord and then to do it. And only after seeking the Lord and only after following his statutes would he then teach statutes in Israel and its judgments and statutes in Israel. If you will read the book and do what the book says to do, then set out to teach and influence others, then you will become an influencer for God and for Christ.
Amen.
Here, let me get to the close. Here it is. So today I want to conclude by saying this. We need more influencers in the church. Men and women who will live godly and be examples of godliness. We need more influencers in the church. Men and women who will live justly and fight for justice. We need more influencers in our church who will live right and be examples of God's righteousness. We need more influencers today who will love peace and be willing peacemakers. We need more influencers in our church who will love the Lord and fight for his glory. So I hear you saying, Pastor, how do I become an influencer for Christ? I'm glad you asked. Here it is. Here it is. The first thing you got to do is find that book. Find somebody in your house and look, find the book. Find the book. We don't know where it is. It may be in the library. Maybe on your phone. Maybe in the office. prophets, maybe in the case, but you got to find that book. Why? Because Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon while he is yet near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It all begins when you get the book of the Word of God back in your hand. Take the neighbor and say, I got the book. The second thing you got to do is you got to read. Read that book. Tell somebody in your house, God, you got to
read the book.
Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Here it is. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Read the book in the morning. Read the book at noontime. Read the book before you lay down at night. Cover your mind with the Word of God. Let it be in all that you do, all that you say. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill my mind, my heart, my spirit. Fill it with your Word. Fill my cup. Let it run over. You got to find the book. You got to read the book. Most importantly, you got to do what the book says do. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. By doing so, you deceive only yourselves. For to whoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, meaning they do it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Mm-hmm. You want to know who God blesses? The person that does what the book says do.
Right,
that's who God blesses. That's who God honors. That's who God establishes. That's who God upholds. That's who God heals. The one that finds the book, reads the book, and does what the book says do. That is the one that the Lord blesses. And cause it to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth their own fruits in their own season. Let God bless you. All you got to do is do what the book says do.
Amen.
Here's the last thing that we get from Ezra. Find the book. Read the book. Do what the book says do. And then here it is, you end like this. Teach from the book. All too often, I hear pseudo-Christian counsel given under the guise of what God would say. Only for the truth to be told that it is not the Word of God that is given, but it is that person's own opinion, thought, or personal counsel on the matter. And I can say that because if you're not rooted in the Word, then you cannot counsel with the Word. You follow what I'm saying? Because we have too many folks that are counselors to us who have no word invested in them. So their desire for us may be to help us or to do us good, but it's not good counsel if it's not counsel out of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and for instruction in righteousness. To be an influencer for God, we have to be first influenced by the Word of God. You must meditate in day and night. You must commit your life, your way, to following after what the book says to do. We live in a day and a time now where information is coming to us at an unprecedented speed and an unimaginable volume. We've got information at our fingertips on everything. And what can happen in a situation like this is that overload of information can block out the Word of God. And we can lose sight of, just like the children of Israel. They had the Word of God. Moses gave it to them. They kept it in the ark. They kept it in the temple. It was read all of their feasts, all of their sacrifices. They heard the Word of God. But as time went on, they distanced themselves from the Word of God. And instead of being able to influence the nations around them, they became influenced by the religion, false worship, the false idols of those that were their neighbors. I'll close by saying this. Remember the words of Christ himself. He said to us that we ought to be both salt and light. Ye are the salt of the earth. And that salt, when God sprinkles us out, if we have the Word of God in us, we can change things. We can influence people. Not for our will, not for our pleasure, but that men might see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Are you influencing someone today for God? Are you influencing someone today for Christ Jesus? Or have you given over your life false worship, false idols, false teachers? They're all around us. They're on every hand. But I declare by the preaching of the Word of God today that He's calling you back. So I want you to be an influencer for God. I want you to be an influencer for Christ Jesus. I want you to stand for what is right, what is just, what is good, what is kind, the things that pertain to the Lord God. So if you hear this Sunday and say, Pastor, I hear the Word today. Pastor, I hear the story of King Josiah. I see the example of Ezra, the priest and scribe. And yes, I hear the Lord calling me to be salt and light. How do I do it? The first step is you have to accept Him as your personal Savior. If you're with me out there, you're on Facebook, you're on YouTube Live, you can bow your heads with me in prayer. If you would like to accept Christ today, just repeat these words. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for shedding your blood for me on Calvary's cross. Today I acknowledge I am a sinner. I acknowledge that I have no God on my side. Today I accept your free gift of salvation. By oral expression, I accept you into my heart by faith. I'm here alone in my own house, my own apartment, but I accept you by faith, believing that today my sins are forgiven and washed away forever. Today I become a child of God. Today I become an influencer for Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Amen. Well, Taylor, we've made it. You're joining us today and you've prayed that prayer. I'm telling you, I would love to hear from you. You're already online. Go to our website, taylortabernacle.com. Jump on the Contact Us page. Just send me an email. Let us know, Pastor, I heard the Word of God today. It touched my heart. It changed my life. I want to use my life to be an influencer for God, influencer for Jesus Christ. Send me your name. Send me your email. Get in contact with us. We have some materials we would love to get in your hands that can build you up, strengthen you to become an even more powerful influencer in the things of God. And so right now I thank you. I praise you. The sermon is done. This time we're going to have the First Lady is coming back, and she is going to lead us in our giving and in our announcement.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good morning once again, Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. This morning, you can worship through giving in one of three ways, either by text or our website at www.taylortabernacle.com/giving or mailing your check or money order. If you want to give by texting, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number that you see on the screen, 73256. You will receive a link for instructions which you will follow. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. If you want to give by U.S. mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Amen. I'm going to proceed with announcements. The pastor and leadership team would like to announce that they have begun planning for a mid-September reopening date for our church. The exact date will be announced as we get closer. However, if you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact either Cassandra McCoy, Shanita Scott, or Zakia Price, who comprise our council and counselors concerning the reopening of the church. Also, please begin to pray for our safe and successful reopening. Amen. Turn the Tide United Way campaign. This is the time of year. Like the church, our outreach center, Turning the Tide, has been closed due to coronavirus outbreak. However, we have begun planning for our reopening of Turning the Tide. The pastor is asking all members and supporters who work for an employer who hosts an annual United Way fund drive to consider supporting Turning the Tide through this method. A nominal donation of $5, $10, or even $25 per paycheck will go a long way to helping the Tide Center reopen. Turning the Tide United Way number is on the screen, I believe. Yes, 46030. That's 46030. We are a designated site for direct donations if you use that number, that designation number. You can also choose to send a check or money order to Turn the Tide, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. For more information, you can also go online to www.turningthetide.com. A few dates that we want to make you mindful of are as follows. August 7th is our Friday night PBS, Prayer and Bible Study, via the church conference line. This Friday, the host for our PBS and the facilitator for that will be Brother Khalil McFarland. On August 9th, next Sunday, services will be hosted by Sister Barbara Williams and family. On the 14th, August 14th, Friday night PBS will be held once again through the church conference line, and the leader for that Friday night service is yet to be announced. So stay tuned. On August 16th, Sunday service is going to be hosted by evangelist Lucinda Pearson, our very own. She'll be coming to us from her home in Knoxville, Tennessee. On August 21st, Friday night, PBS, via the church conference line, will be hosted and facilitated by Sister Christina Rook. August 23rd, Sunday service is going to be hosted by Pastor Jeffrey Gibbs, Jr., who is the pastor of the Encounter Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. August 28th, Friday night, PBS via the church conference line will be held once again. The host and facilitator for that is yet to be announced, so stay tuned. On August 30th, the final Sunday in August, service will be hosted by Deaconess Lillian Davis-Jones and family. The church conference call line, just as a reminder, which I've referenced a few times during the announcement, the number is 775-799-9141. That's 775-799-9141. Remember to hit subscribe right there on YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you can remain informed and stay up to date with all upcoming gatherings and dates and announcements. If you're not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will be certain to add you to our list. That concludes the church announcement, and I'm going to ask the pastor to rejoin us so that we can have benediction. Amen.
Taylor, thank you again for being a wonderful and great church. Thank you for joining us for another communion Sunday. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving, your faithfulness in participating through all of these virtual methods. We really appreciate it. We thank God that the word of the Lord is still going forth. People are being encouraged. Souls are being saved. People are being healed. And we thank God for it. I also want to thank all of our young adults. If you noticed on the Friday night Bible study for the month of August and September, our prayer and Bible study, the Bible study section, will be led by one of our young adults. So I'm thankful for those. We already got locked for August. Some have already locked in for September. We still have some dates to fill in. But I thank God for our young adults who are living as influencers for Christ.
Yeah.
Just like Josiah, young men, young men, young women, living their life to influence this world and their generation for Jesus Christ. So tell the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, and may his blessings overshadow and overtake you and your family. That is our prayer request for you today. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.